He called Balveda to his cabin one day, after they had all eaten in the mess. The woman came in and sat down on the same small seat he had sat in when Craiglin had summoned him just after he had joined the ship. Balveda's face was calm. She sat elegantly in the small seat, her long frame at once relaxed and poised. Her deep, dark eyes gazed out at Horsa from the thin, smoothly shaped head, and her red hair, now turning black, shone in the lights of the cabin. "Captain Horsa?" She smiled, crossing her long-fingered hands on her lap. She wore a long blue gown, the plainest thing she had been able to find on the ship, something that had once belonged to the woman Gao. "Hello, Balveda," Horsa said. He sat back on the bed. He wore a loose gown. For the first couple of days he had stayed in his suit, but while it stayed commendably comfortable, it was bulky and awkward in the confines of the clear air turbulence, so he discarded it for the voyage. He was about to offer Balveda something to drink, but somehow, because that was what Craiglin had done with him, it didn't seem the right thing to do.
"What was it, Horsa?" Balveda said.
"I just wanted to see how you were," he said. He had tried to rehearse what he would say, assure her she was in no danger, that he liked her, and that he was sure that this time the worst that would happen to her really would be internment somewhere, and maybe a swap. But the words would not come.
"I'm fine," she said, smoothing her hand over her hair, her eyes glancing around the cabin briefly. "I'm trying to be a model captive, so you won't have an excuse for ditching me."
She smiled, but again he thought he sensed an edge to the gesture. Yet he was relieved. "No," he laughed, letting his head rock back on his shoulders with the laugh. "I've no intention of doing that. You're safe."
"Until we get to Shah's world?" she said calmly.
"After that, too," he said. Balveda blinked slowly, looking down.
Good.
She looked into his eyes. He shrugged. "I'm sure you'd do the same for me."
"I think I probably would," she said, and he couldn't tell whether she was lying or not. "I just think it's a pity we're on different sides."
"It's a pity we're all on different sides, Balveda."
"Well," she said, clasping her hands on her lap again, "there is a theory that the side we each think we're on is the one that will triumph eventually anyway."
"What's that?" he grinned. "Truth and justice?"
"Not either, really."
She smiled, not looking at him. She shrugged.
"Just life.
The evolution you talked about. You said the culture was in a backwater, a dead end.
If we are, maybe we'll lose after all."
"Damn, I'll get you on the good guy's side yet, Peristek," he said, with just a little too much heartiness. She smiled thinly. She opened her mouth to say something, then thought the better of it and closed it again. She looked at her hands. Horsa wondered what to say next. One night, 6 days out from their destination, the system star was fairly bright in the sky ahead of the ship even on normal sight. Yalsin came to his cabin. He hadn't expected it, and the tap at the door brought him from a state between waking and sleep with a jarring coldness which left him disoriented for a few moments. He saw her on the door screen and let her in. She came in quickly, closing the door after her and hugging him, holding him tight, soundless. He stood there, trying to wake up and work out how this had happened. There seemed to be no reason for it, no build-up of tension of any sort between them, no signs, no hints, nothing. Yalsin had spent that day in the hangar, wired up with small sensors and exercising. He had seen her there, working away, sweating, exhausting herself, peering at readouts and screens with her critical eyes, as though her body was a machine like the ship and she was testing it almost to destruction. They slept together. But as though to confirm the exertions she had put herself through during the day, Yalsin fell asleep almost as soon as they lay down in his arms, while he was kissing and nuzzling her, breathing in the scent of her body again after what seemed like months. He lay awake and listened to her breathe, felt her move very slightly in his arms, and sensed her blood beat slower and slower as she fell into a deep sleep. In the morning they made love, and afterward he asked her, while he held her and their sweat dried, "Why?" as their heart slowed. "What changed your mind?" The ship hummed distantly around them. She gripped him, hugging tighter still, and shook her head.
"Nothing," she said.